Welcome to the Holidays to Switzerland Travel Podcast. Your host is the founder of holidaystoswitzerland.com and the Switzerland Travel Planning Facebook group, Carolyn Schonefinger. On this podcast, Carolyn will be joined by a variety of guests who share their knowledge and love of the country to help you plan your dream trip to Switzerland.
This is episode 24. Today's guest is someone who, together with her family, decided to call Switzerland home many years ago. Based in their new homeland, they started getting outdoors and discovering all the wonderful hikes that are available in Switzerland. And with such a spectacular country, it's no wonder that they'd want to get out and see all there is to see. Thanks to her love of hiking and all the experience she's gained over the many, many years that she and her family have been enjoying hikes in Switzerland, Tanya has put together a website where she shares all that information to help other families and other adults without kids enjoy the best of hiking in Switzerland. So I'll let Tanya share her story with us today. It's a really interesting one, how they came to be in Switzerland and how her hobby has really developed into something that is a passion that she can enjoy and share with others. Welcome to another episode of the Holidays to Switzerland Travel Podcast. My special guest today is Tanya Deans. Now, Tanya, I've admired your website, Swiss Family Fun, for quite a while now, and I'm very envious of all the beautiful hikes that you obviously get to do in Switzerland. So thank you very much for coming on the show today so we can learn a bit more about you and your website.
Yeah, happy to be here. I always love talking about hiking, so glad to be a guest.
Excellent. So can you start by telling us a bit about your background and how you came to live in Switzerland?
Sure. Yeah, I grew up in California and we were living in San Francisco and we thought it might be fun to live abroad. So my husband was just kind of casually looking for jobs and he found one in Switzerland. So we thought, okay, well, we'd only been in Switzerland one day before on a kind of whirlwind trip of Europe. We thought, okay, hey, we can live anywhere. And I had a one-year-old at the time. So we thought this is the right time to travel and we can do a couple of years abroad. So we came, we loved it, and we never left. we expected to be here maybe 3 years, maybe five at the most. But we just loved it, and it's been great to live here and explore. And now we're citizens, so I guess we're never leaving.
Okay. So how long is it now that you've lived there?
It's been it'll be 16 years this summer, and wow. My children are now 17 and 13, and my oldest is doing an apprenticeship here, so he's, I wouldn't say stuck, but he's committed to being here for at least the next 2 years to finish that apprenticeship, so yeah we're happy and settled and don't really want to live anywhere else.
Oh, great. And do you live in a city or in a rural town?
We're living in Zurich and we're in the city. When we were in San Francisco, we were also living in the city. It's kind of funny because people think of me as this outdoors person, which I absolutely am, but I'm also a city person. I really love living in the center of the city where everything's really close and I can walk and bike everywhere. And also my kids have the freedom to really be go out on their own and I don't have to drive them everywhere, which is really nice. Yeah. So yeah, we're right in the city.
Yeah, and of course the public transport too in Switzerland is just so amazing.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. It makes it so much more accessible for so many people. I'm always surprised how many people don't have a car in Switzerland. I mean, we have a car. And then when I write about the hikes, I'm always talking about how to get to places with public transportation. And I always think, oh, well, not so many people will do that. But really, I would say the majority of people that follow me are using public transportation. I mean, it's so efficient and easy and accessible for the whole country.
Yeah, definitely. So did you always have a love for hiking or did this really only start once you moved to Switzerland?
Well, it certainly blossomed when I came to Switzerland. Growing up, I grew up near the beach. So I was in San Diego and we spent a lot of time on the beach. My family was definitely an outdoors family. So we went camping, but we weren't hiking every weekend, not at all. We would do, you know, a couple weeks of camping in the summer and, you know, do hikes. But in California, it's so different from here. you know, you had to have a permit and you had to bring all of your water and everything to do these really big treks. So I thought of hiking as a really extreme type of sport. And in Switzerland, it's so easy. So you really don't need a lot of supplies and it's super easy. So when I came to, well, before coming to Switzerland, I had a baby. So I had just had this 1-year-old and we were, you know, trying to figure out what sort of things we could do as a family. And actually hiking ended up being one of the funnest things we could do with the baby because you just carry them and walk and you can have a nice time. Obviously you can't really, you know, a 1-year-old doesn't really do much. So it ended up being an activity that was fun to do together. And then when we came to Switzerland, we realized how easy it was to do here. And it just became the thing that we did every weekend. And at first, I mean, I'm not really an extreme person. So it wasn't climbing mountains at the beginning. We just do the really easy hikes. But after 16 years almost, I've done all the easy hikes and now I have to climb the mountains. So I've become more of a hiker over the time, but still in my heart, I'm more of a casual hiker.
Yeah. Okay, great. And so what was the reason for starting your website? And also, I know you've got a YouTube channel. So how did they sort of come about?
Yeah, when I first moved here, I had was working full time before I came and I had this 1-year-old. So when I came, I had no friends. I couldn't speak the language. I didn't have a job. I had a lot of free time and a lot of creative energy that I had no place to put. I started going to these moms and tots play groups to meet other families and have something to do. And everyone was sharing fun ideas about outings and places to go. And I came from a tech background. So I said, hey, I'll just create a blog for us to share amongst the group all these fun ideas. And so I did that. And it was just meant for this small parenting group. And then really, the idea was that everyone would share ideas, but no one was really taking the time to do it. I was the only one that was posting because it does take a lot of time to make sure that you have all the right pictures and to write up all the little details. But I love doing that. I also have a technical writing background. So for me, writing up all the details was fun. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of took it on as a personal project. And it gave me also a reason to leave the house, which was really difficult sometimes because, you know, I had this small child. I was getting shamed by all of these old Swiss women when I, you know, go out with my stroller and try and get it on the tram. They'd be like, your stroller's too heavy, or, you know, your child isn't dressed correctly. And I would just every day, I'd just be like, okay, it's really hard to go outside, but I'm just going to do it. And so having the blog to say, well, I need another post on the blog. Let's go visit this place so I can put it on the blog. That was really a motivation for me to get out of the house and explore and see new things. So it really saved me in those first couple of years when I had no friends and I didn't know anything. And it was emotionally difficult to go out there. And then, you know, it just, I did it not really seriously for maybe the first 6 or 7 years. It's a long time. And then, and everyone kept bugging me like, oh, you should make money with the blog, or, you know, you should take it more seriously. And so I, you know, put a lot more effort into it and I moved it over to WordPress and I learned more about how to build it, market it and everything. And so I just took it a little bit more seriously. And then I had a friend that encouraged me to start the YouTube channel. We both started it together. And that was really fun. And now I'm sad I didn't start it at the beginning because I have all these great memories. I mean, I watch the videos over and over because it just reminds me of these really great times. And even if no one else watched it, I'm just glad I have them as a memory.
Yeah.
And I wish I had started it that first year that I moved here, because if I had all these cool videos of my little kids, it would just be amazing. So yeah, the YouTube channel is a lot of fun, but it's also a lot of work because every video takes me about 8 to 10 hours to edit and put together. And it's just hard to find the time.
Yes, for sure. And I know by looking at your website with each of the hikes, you actually go into quite a lot of detail about, you know, the altitude that people will reach, the distance of the hike and how much time they should allow. So obviously there's a lot of not only just you going there and doing the actual hike, but then collating all that information and double checking and then getting it onto the website so that other people can benefit from it.
Yeah, that was also a big motivation for me, because when I first moved here, and that was a long time ago, the internet resources for doing these hikes were pretty poor. And, you know, a lot of it was just printed material. It was only in German. And I would say now it's better, but not perfect. I mean, I do hours of research for a lot of these hikes, and it's difficult to find all those details. I really want to make it easy for people to have a successful outing, because I think especially a lot of my readers have young children, or they're beginning hikers, and they just don't have the experience to get themselves into a situation and not know what's going to happen. So I think it's really important for them to know exactly what to expect and to be able to have all the information they need to have a successful outing. So that's why I try really hard to get all those details there in one place, so they don't have to spend a lot of time gathering it like I did.
Yeah, awesome. And we should mention too that whilst your blog is called Swiss Family Fun, it's the hikes, most of them on there are suitable definitely for people that are, you know, not traveling or hiking with children as well. So they're for everyone.
Absolutely. So I used to be called Moms Taught Zurich. So it was really specific to small children and mothers, and it's really specific to Zurich. And I really thought hard about what I'm going to call this, because a lot of my followers are families, but I have tons of followers that are also retired couples or people in their 20s going out with friends, single hikers. You know, we have all sorts of people. And I thought family really encompassed everyone. It encompassed dads, not just moms, older parents with their adult children, you know, all sorts of people. I just want anyone that wants to go out with a friend or family, and really targeting casual hikers. So I think of it as, you know, you might be a family, but you might just be someone who wants to enjoy the outdoors. What I find is most of the resources that are there for hiking are really focused on more extreme hikers. So they're like, oh, here's an easy hike that's 22 kilometers. No one that is following me wants to be out there for, you know, the entire day going 22 kilometers up and down two mountains. These are not the people I'm targeting.
Yeah.
I'm targeting people that want to be outside for a couple hours, enjoy it, maybe sweat a little bit, but maybe not. And, you know, have a nice drink at the end of the hike at a mountain hut. That's who I'm targeting.
Absolutely. Well, we know that Switzerland's got some of the most beautiful landscapes anywhere in the world, and I'm no doubt that you've been able to explore plenty of the different Swiss regions. But I'm sure that many of our listeners are considering doing a hike when they do get to Switzerland. So can you give us some advice of perhaps some of the ones that you would recommend that they do? So maybe if you could pick, say, three different regions and give us an example of a couple of hikes, maybe an easy and a moderate or more challenging hike from each of those regions.
Sure. So I picked a couple of the most popular regions that people travel to. So Zermatt, of course, is super popular to go see the Matterhorn. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything I talk about here, I have all the details on the website. So I think in the show notes, you'll put links to all the things that I talk about.
Absolutely.
Here, so you don't have to worry about writing them all down. But in Zermatt, the place that I recommend that most people go if they're a casual hiker is to the Gornergrat, where you can take a mountain train up and then you get the classic view of the Matterhorn. And you should go down to the Riffelsee, which is the lake. And you'll see this in all the pictures, especially on Instagram, where you have the Matterhorn reflected in this little lake. It's really just like 3-4 minutes from the train station to get to the lake. And you'd be surprised how many people get off at the train station and don't walk down. Mm-hmm. It's really surprising. And then from there, you can do a really easy hike. And it's really flexible. That's what's nice, is there's 3 different trails that lead from the lake back to a lower down train station. You can either go to Riffelberg or Riffelalp. And I have all these variations in the blog post. But you can hike from 2 to, I think it's maybe 3 or 4 kilometers. And it's quite easy. It's mostly downhill. And you get the most beautiful views. And again, very few people actually hike from the lake farther down. So it can be quite quiet. You escape the crowds and it's not that difficult. In fact, I did that hike with my 4-year-old one time, and he walked most of it. So it was really fun.
Yeah. That's one now, hike that I have done. And that is, yeah, we hiked from Riffelsee down to, is it Rotenburg or?
Rotenboden, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So we hiked down there. And yeah, it was, as you said, the scenery is amazing.
So the other hike that I would recommend in Zermatt, if you want to do something a bit more challenging, is the Matterhorn Glacier Trail. It's where you can get the closest to the Matterhorn without actually hiking on the Matterhorn. It's a very exciting hike. You start by riding the cable car up to Trockener Steg, and then you just head out into the wilderness. It's well marked. It's a very rocky trail. You get really close to the glacier that's coming down from the top, and then you get really right up underneath the Matterhorn. It's super exciting. And when we did this trail, we even saw, trying to think of the name in English, but a huge, like not a mountain goat, but with the, like an ibex with the big horns. It was very exciting to see that because you don't really see it that often in Switzerland. So that one, it's not actually that difficult. Certainly you should have a little bit of experience hiking and, you know, good shoes, but it's really a great hike.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds fun.
Now, the second most popular region in Switzerland is the Jungfrau region, where you're going to see the Eiger and the other famous peaks. The one I always recommend people for if they want a really easy hike would be to go to Mennlichen and then hike over to Kleine Scheidegg. So it's quite flat. It's about 4 kilometers. It's super popular. So that's one reason I would say maybe don't do it if you want to stay away from the people. But it's super popular because the views are amazing and it's not that difficult. So you'll see a lot of kids. Now, there's a playground at one side if you have children, which is really nice. And there's restaurants on both ends. So it's not super remote, but it's really easy and fun. And we've done it many times and we take visitors there. This is especially great if you have grandparents coming or anyone who really doesn't have the stamina for a long hike, mm-hmm. but wants to feel that Switzerland, classic Switzerland feel. This is perfect for them.
Okay. Yeah, good.
Now, if you want to do something really challenging, when I did last summer, was the Faulhorn hike. This is really popular. And it actually connects two more moderate hikes. So you can do the hikes on either end of this if you're a more casual hiker. And then if you want to do the more challenging, you can hike from one side all the way to the other. So it starts at Grindelwald first with the Bachalpsee. And this is, again, a classic view that you'll often see with the mountains reflected in this lake, the Bachalpsee. And there's also a little cliff walk where they've built a walkway along the edge of the cliffs and a little walkway kind of out into the into the wild where you can kind of stand out on a platform. And if you have vertigo, it might not be the best for you. It starts with that and then you hike up to the lake. And so you can just do that part. I think it's 2 kilometers to the lake and back. And that's great if you want something a little smaller. But if you want to keep going, you just keep following that path straight up to the Faulhorn. And then you're way up on the top of the mountains. And then you're getting a view on both sides of the Jungfrau region and also onto the other sides of these mountains. And then you continue down the other side to Schinnige Platte, which has a beautiful ridge trail. So you get to finish out on that part of the trail. And again, if you want to do just the Schinnige Platte, that's possible. It's about 6 kilometer loop, not totally suitable for casual hikers. And then you get to look over the cliffs on the other side to see the lakes down by Interlaken. So it's just spectacular on all sides. And if you can do this longer hike, it's really a special experience. And they do have mountain huts along the hike. If you want to break it up overnight, that would be really exciting. So you could see the sunrise and the sunset along that.
Yeah, beautiful.
Now, one other region I want to highlight is maybe in central Switzerland. A lot of people use Luzern as their base when they mm-hmm. visit Switzerland. And I wanted to mention a couple of my favorites from that region as well. So in Stoos is really popular. And this is maybe something you've also seen on Instagram. You can take the steepest funicular in the world to get up to this little alpine village. And then you take a chairlift to reach the ridge trail. And there's just this gorgeous ridge trail with views of tons of mountains and lakes. And it's actually quite short. It's only 4 kilometers, but it is a bit challenging. And for those that have vertigo, it could be a little scary. But it's one of my very favorite hikes, and I totally recommend doing it. And if you can't do the full hike, you can still ride the chairlift up to the panorama viewpoint and get this view over the lakes of Luzern. And then the other really challenging one I'd recommend is the Brienzer Rothorn, where you can ride a mountain train up to this beautiful viewpoint over, again, over the Berner Oberland and then also on the other side to central Switzerland. So it's kind of right on the border between these two. And if that's enough for you, you can just sit at the restaurant and enjoy the view and have a nice coffee or a drink. But if you want to do the ridge trail, it's just really a special experience. And it's about 11 kilometers and you end up in a different part of Switzerland and then you can take the train back. I was scared to do it for a long time because I had heard a lot about this trail, but the first time I did it, I realized it was totally within my skill capability. Mm-hmm. But you do need to be prepared because there are some steep drop-offs, but it's just, if you have some hiking experience and you want a bit of a challenge and something special, that would be my first pick.
Okay. And when you talk about the ridge trail there, how wide is the track that you're walking on? And is it like, you know, sheer drops both sides or is there some sort of distance to protect you?
Yeah. It's not like a cliff. I mean, there are parts where there's cliffs that drop off, but where you're walking, it's not a straight cliff, but it is quite steep. So, I mean, if you fell off the trail, you might die. I mean, last year, I think one person died on that trail. Wow. So, I mean, what usually happens is people go in bad weather. So they go when it's rainy or it's just rained. Or it's been cold and there's ice. Mm-hmm. So you really need to go on a dry day and you just have to be really careful. I mean, of course, accidents happen. Sure. We were on that trail one time and we were just chatting up a Swiss lady and she said, because there was going to be some weather, maybe 3 hours. We were going to be finished with the trail before it came in. But she said, you got to finish this trail right now. She's like, you can get struck by lightning out here. She's like, if the lightning comes, you got to throw your hiking sticks as far away as from you as possible because people have got hit by lightning. And she was giving us all this advice. And then we were scared and worried. But I mean, it's serious. She knew someone who had gotten struck by lightning with their hiking stick on a trail. And you know, it can be dangerous. So you just need to be smart about going in the right weather and, you know, having the right equipment if you're going to go on such a trail. But really, I don't tend to go on the trails that are super dangerous. That's not something that's so interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And I find that this ridge trail, if you are careful and you stick to the trail, you'll be fine. You know, it doesn't have fences on the sides. That's not really a Swiss thing. They really say it's your own responsibility to do things safely, and they're not going to prevent you from falling off the cliff. So it's something that you need to take your own responsibility for.
Sure. Well, yeah, there's some definitely a good selection of hikes that you've given us there. But for something perhaps a little even easier, a little more sedate, I saw on your website that you mention a number of spring flower trails in Switzerland. Mm. And yeah, that really caught my attention because I love flowers. So what can you tell us about some of the different flower trails that we could do?
Sure. So there's a lot of rambles through the countryside, which is perfect right now because it's May and we've had a lot of late snow. So the mountain trails are not open and it's a great time for us to explore the lowlands. So absolutely. Now the wildflowers are starting. They are full out in the lowlands. So we've got all of these yellow fields of the rapeseed that are just gorgeous right now. The cherry tree trails, where you have the cherry blossoms, those are past now, unfortunately. That's like end of April, but we've got a couple, exciting seasons coming up. The main one is the narcissus trails. So these are these really delicate narcissus flowers that are kind of in the daffodil family. Mm-hmm. And the main area for that is near Lausanne. They have, I think, 5 or 6 narcissus trails where they have wild narcissus all over the trail. And they even have have a website that shows a blooming forecast, so you know exactly what the bloom status of each of these trails is. I've done one of those trails, and I have a trip planned to Montreux. It's either going to happen this weekend, but the weather's not looking so great, but maybe in 2 weekends. So I think the peak bloom is going to be in about 2 weeks for the Narcissus. So I'm hoping to get out there for that.
Perfect. Well, we're definitely looking out for your photos from that hike.
Yeah. And there's one I found last year, a Narcissus trail that's closer to Zurich. So it's in Savies. And this was also a real treat because it was super quiet. And there were not just these Narcissus, but huge fields full of wildflowers. So yeah, I have a couple of posts on my site that focus on where to see the wildflowers. Up in the mountains, the season for that is more July because spring comes late to the higher elevations. And there's a lot of trails that are kind of alpine, not really alpine gardens, but a bit where they highlight all the different wildflowers that grow at the high elevation. So I really like this trail at Käserück by Toggenberg. This is in eastern Switzerland, and they have a little wildflower trail where they mark each different alpine flower, and then they have a sign that gives you the name and a little information about the flower. And I like that because you can see all of them in one place really easily, and then when you go on other hikes, you can recognize those flowers. So I think that's super fun, and that hike is really easy and spectacular as well.
Oh, that sounds really interesting, and yeah, it gives you something to look out for on future hikes as well. You see if you can recognize the Edelweiss and the other native flowers.
Yeah, the Edelweiss is a little tricky to find. When you see it, it's a real treat. We were in Saas Fee this last summer, and we saw Edelweiss in the wild, and we were going crazy taking so many pictures of it. It's just a big treat when you see it.
Fantastic. So this is probably a pretty tricky question, but what's your favorite Swiss hike and why?
Well, I always say the Gelmersee because this is just something that is close to my heart. It's a tradition for our family. It's not one that's really known by people outside of Switzerland. So sometimes I hesitate to talk about it because I don't want it to be overcrowded.
You want to keep it secret.
Yeah, but it's really special. So it's in the Berner Oberland, but maybe an hour from Interlaken. You can get there by public transportation, but the bus runs really unfrequently, so it's a little difficult to get to. It has a very steep open-air funicular to get there. So you might have seen it on Instagram or YouTube. People speed up the video so it looks like a roller coaster. It actually goes very, very slow, but it's very scary. You can sit in the front seat, and it is kind of like a roller coaster where you just get a little bar over your lap, and you feel like you're just going to flop out of this. It's so steep. And then at the top, there's a beautiful bright blue reservoir that's collecting water off of the glaciers. So it has those minerals in it that make it super blue. There's a great hike around the lake. And then we always go wild blueberry picking. So there's a great picnic spot there where usually in late August, the wild blueberries are out in force and we'll just have purple faces from eating all the wild blueberries. So we go there very often with our family and also with friends. And it just has a special place in my heart. And I mean, I've been there in all sorts of weather. I've been there in the rain. I've been there in the fog. I've been there on hot, sunny days where we jump into the water and swim, even though it's icy, icy cold. So I think probably everyone has a place like this where it's just special because you always go there with the people that you love. And I think that's what makes a hike really special. It's not just the views, but it's the people you share it with.
Yeah, absolutely. And those wonderful experiences I can see, like with eating the blueberries, that it just makes it that gives it that added special touch.
Yeah.
So what special equipment should anyone who's planning to do a hike in Switzerland, what should they be prepared to carry with them?
So I would first say that if you're doing a kind of a casual, easy hike, don't stress about your equipment. So I'm really encouraging people that aren't outdoors people to get out there and don't go buy a bunch of special equipment to get started hiking. I mean, of course, it depends on what kind of hike you're doing. But in Switzerland, you're really never that far away from civilization. So you don't have to carry a lot of things that you might have to do in other places where you hike. So for kind of an easy casual hike, I would just say sturdy shoes with good tread. I mean, you can go out with just regular sports shoes. My kids have walked barefoot and in Crocs, so it's not so serious if you're on an easy trail. But sturdy shoes certainly help and add to your comfort. I would always carry a rain jacket because the weather in Switzerland can change really quickly and you don't want to be caught out there and be really uncomfortable. So I usually carry a rain jacket even if the forecast is good. And of course, I always carry water, even if there's a mountain hut or a mountain restaurant that's quite close and you're not going to be too far away. It's always important to have water on the hike. Now, if you're doing something that is a little more strenuous or a longer hike, then I recommend having hiking poles. I just think it's really nice for balance. I've actually twisted my ankle a couple of times out there, and that's not nice. And then you don't get to hike as much later. So I find it really nice to just have that bit of stability, especially if you are carrying a pack or maybe you're carrying a child on your back. Having the poles can really be helpful. In terms of what you wear, I just say be comfortable. I think you don't have to have technical clothing. For me, I like to wear hiking trousers instead of shorts. I see a lot of people out there in shorts and short shorts, which is really cute. But for me, I don't like to get ticks and I don't like to have my legs scratched by the bushes or, you know, other things on the trail. So for me, even on a hot day, I like to wear hiking trousers just to protect my legs. And then, of course, I always bring layers. So I always pack a fleece. And if it's kind of a chilly day, maybe like 16 degrees or cooler, then I'll maybe bring my down jacket that's packable. So just in case, because oftentimes when you're climbing on the hike, you get really hot and you strip down and then you sit down for your picnic and you're freezing or some wind comes up. So layers are super important. But again, I wouldn't stress about getting a lot of technical equipment. Of course, if you're going to hike a lot and you're going to do some more extreme things, it's nice because if you get good quality equipment, you'll be really comfortable. But I don't want that to prevent anyone from enjoying the outdoors. Just go with what you have. And then if you find that you're a little uncomfortable, then buy something that's going to increase your comfort.
Sure. And if someone's in Switzerland on vacation and they've done one hike and they think, yeah, we want to do a few more, but we wish we had have brought some poles with us, instead of buying them in Switzerland, is it easy enough to rent them?
A lot of the tourist areas will rent them. So I know for sure in Zermatt and in the Jungfrau region, the sports shops there will rent really anything. You can rent your hiking shoes, poles, jackets even. I know at the top of the Jungfrau Joch, you can hire winter jackets and snow boots. So a lot of these sports centers in the tourist regions will have it. I wouldn't expect if you went to a smaller area that they would have anything. But definitely in the tourist regions, you can do that. And that's really advisable. You know, a lot of people will just swing through Switzerland for 1 or 2 days on a larger trip. Mm-hmm. So you don't really want to carry a bunch of hiking equipment if you're going to be spending most of your time in Italy. So that really makes sense to rent it when you get here. But I would probably recommend calling a sports shop in the area where you're going to see what they have available so you're not stuck. Because also if you have a really tight itinerary, you don't want to be spending a couple hours searching around the village for rental equipment.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Okay, so before I let you go, can you just share with us your top tips for anyone who's planning on going hiking in Switzerland?
I would first say just go and don't overthink it. It's really so easy to go hiking in Switzerland. I mean, you could wake up Saturday morning, you could sleep in, just pick a point on the map and just go there. You know that there's a cable car. They'll give you a free hiking map. You can ask them what you should do. They'll show you something to do on the map. And then you could just buy lunch at the restaurant. It's so easy. So don't ever let anything prevent you from going out there. There's always something easy to do. I would focus on having fun and not necessarily accomplishing anything. I think sometimes people think of it like when you go on a diet or exercise routine, you're like, okay, I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to exercise every day. And then you do too much the first day and then you never go again. Yeah. So don't do that with your hikes. Like, just pick something fun and enjoy being outside with your friends and family. And don't try and hike the hardest mountain the first time you go out, because I really want people to have this love affair with the mountains and with the Swiss Alps and just gradually have it grow on you rather than getting upset that first time you go out. And I would also say go often, especially if you're living here in Switzerland. Try and don't wait for the perfect moment. Like, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to go to the Matterhorn, you know, and then they plan this big trip and that's the only hike they ever do. I think, you know, if you're traveling to Switzerland, go where you live now and just enjoy it and just get to know your area. There's always interesting places to go that you won't know about until you maybe ask the locals or, you know, explore a little bit. So I would say go often and learn how to be a hiker and don't just save it for that one special holiday. Yeah. So those would be my three tips.
Okay. And we probably also should mention about the weather, just checking the weather forecast before you leave and letting someone know exactly where you're going, just in case the weather does change while you're out on the hike.
Yeah, definitely some safety tips. So this is one big mistake that a lot of people make when they're coming to Switzerland. First, it's really important to understand our hiking season. So a lot of people come here in May, which is really, I would say, the worst time. It's not the very worst time, but it's not a great time to come to Switzerland for hiking because all the mountains are mostly closed. They all take a break between ski season, which ends about early April, and then open about late June. And prime hiking season doesn't really start until July to August. So I have all these sad and frantic people sending me messages in May, like, I went to Zermatt, there was nothing to do, everything was closed. I'm like, well, yeah, that's how it is there. And I try and send out messages to warn people not to book their holidays in May. Now, that doesn't mean there's nothing to do. I have lists of things that you can do in May. So there's a lot of beautiful things you can do, but it's maybe not the most famous things that you thought you were going to see. And then regardless of when you come, before you do any hike, you should definitely go to the website of the place where you're going and check the status of the lifts and the trails. Sometimes they have landslides, or they're doing a revision on the cable car, or they're having a festival that day and a bunch of things are closed. I mean, anything could happen. So you just want to check so you don't get disappointed, and definitely check the weather. I wouldn't just check the forecast, but I would also look at the precipitation map and see what storms are moving in. You know, one time we went camping and the forecast looked totally clear, and by the middle of the night, we were in a lightning storm. So, you know, things change really, really quickly, and it's important to have a plan B. And, you know, I again get messages from lots of people that had mishaps because they didn't check. And I thought, oh, this was an easy thing to avoid if you just checked before you went out. Yeah. So thanks for bringing that up. It's really, really important.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Tanya, for all that great information. It's it certainly makes me even keener to get to Switzerland. And we have a lot of listeners, rather, from the States. So they're probably more likely to get to Switzerland a little bit sooner than I am from down under. But there's certainly plenty of awesome hikes that I'm definitely going to try and have a go at next time I do get to Switzerland.
Great. Well, I'm really happy to have anyone come, and you can always send me a message through my website if you're looking for something in particular. I'm always happy to help people, you know, find exactly the right hike for their family.
Wonderful. Now, as you mentioned earlier in the show notes for this episode, I'll link to your blog and your YouTube channel, and also we'll link to some of those hikes that you specifically mentioned so that the listeners can click straight through really easily and get all that information. Those show notes will be available at holidaystoswitzerland.com/episode24. Thank you again, Tanya. It's been wonderful speaking to you, and Happy hiking this European summer.
All right. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I wish everyone many happy adventures in Switzerland or wherever you are at the moment.
Thank you so much for listening. For more great resources on planning a trip to Switzerland, make sure you visit holidaystoswitzerland.com, where you'll find trip planning tips, destination guides, information on transport, including Swiss rail passes, and much more. You're also encouraged to join the Switzerland Travel Planning Group on Facebook, where you can ask questions and chat to other past and future travellers to Switzerland. You'll find show notes from today's episode at holidaystoswitzerland.com/podcast, and be sure to subscribe to the Holidays to Switzerland Travel podcast so you never miss an episode.